talk about God is going to kill Moses. Who were the visiting saints from the past that were part of the transfiguration? That's Matthew 17 and Mark 9. Yeah, they were Moses and Elijah. The Bible is not subtle about the fact that we don't always fathom God's thoughts and plans. But given the significance of this event, doesn't one have to believe that Moses had a very high approval rating with God? Deuteronomy 34:10. Since that time, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. No prophet who did all the signs and wonders that the Lord sent Moses to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his officials and all his land. And no prophet who performed all the mighty acts of power and awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Consider that Moses was really a prototype or foreshadowing of Jesus. Satan made an attempt to kill both of them as infants. Both were prophets. Both were priests. Both were shepherds of the people. And both delivered their people from slavery. And both suffered with their people. Yet, if we were following the narrative very closely, we saw that there was a moment in time which God was preparing to remove Moses from duty and kill him. God had called and convinced Moses to lead the Hebrews out of slavery. When finally he obeys, he goes to Jethro to check out of his local commitments. That's a good thing. But look at what he says to Jethro. Go back to my own people in Egypt to see if they're still alive. Moses is on his way to have a shootout with the most powerful man on earth. Wouldn't you think that he would practice on Jethro or at least share his concerns? Instead, he lies, avoiding any connection with Jehovah, who he has just had a one-on-one with in person. To me, that sounds like a near total lack of confidence in God. Can anyone identify? Moses and family are leaving Midian to go to dance with the frogs, the locusts, and the flies. And we come to Exodus 4:24, which reads, on the way to Egypt, at a place where Moses and his family had stopped for the night, the Lord confronted him and was about to kill him. Talking about Moses. After all, he had set up with Moses, God is now on the verge of killing Moses. Admittedly, there is some ambiguity in this passage, but it seems to me that Moses has probably, out of deference, read giving in to his wife, has avoided in the past of what he knew to be the absolute sign of the covenant of circumcision of his son. He's going to lead God's people in a pivotal spiritual event of the ages, and yet he has neglected his side of the covenant with God. Rank disobedience and diametrically opposed to the desiring God's will. There's also a message here for us in the present. Giving up on something that is spiritually connected due to the pressure or obstinacy of someone close, or avoiding genuine Christian action due to circumstances or situation. Remember, God had told Moses, I will harden his heart so that he will not let my people go. How does God hardening a heart strike you? Consider Isaiah 6:10 and Romans 9:18. The subject is really beyond the scope of this chat, but it is necessary here for God to proceed with his plan of redemption. If Pharaoh had granted their request to go out to the desert and worship, they would have been bound to return. In that case, they would have never been able to leave. They had to be thrown out of Egypt. In using 10 plagues, God was demonstrating to his people that he, Jehovah, was more powerful than any and all of the Egyptian gods, the Nile and the sun. Our next stop is the Red Sea. This is to close. This is Psalm 40, or the first three verses of Psalm 40, which is "My help and my deliverer," my deliverer being the subject in session today. "He waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction. Out of the miry bog, he set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." Make it a blessed day.